Us please to Psalm 105. Psalm 105. Verse 1 says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people." So let's pray. Father, we're so thankful. We've just come out of a week of Thanksgiving where as a nation, we've been giving thanks for all that you have done for us. As believers, we are so thankful for all the things you've done for us individually and corporately as the church. And so, Father, we are thankful. We do give praise unto your name. We do acknowledge all the wonderful things that you have done in us and through us and among your people. And so we just give you glory and honor for the good work which you have begun and the work you will complete in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 105 is also repeated in 1 Chronicles 16, verses 8 through, oh, I don't know how long, all the way down. It quotes much of that Psalm 105. But it has the same opening verse. Give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. So it's talking about testimonies. It's talking about declaring what God has done. It's talking about boasting, in a sense, in the Lord. And the two songs that we sang were very appropriate. We're going to boast in the Lord, what he has done for us, and we're going to give thanks for the things that God has done for us. And in that context, what I did was I was praying about the service for today. I had a couple things on my heart. And back a couple weeks ago, I just decided this is a good Sunday following Thanksgiving to do exactly that. Let's boast on the Lord and let's give thanks to the Lord and talk about the deeds that he has done. Let's talk about the things that we are thankful for. And it's easy enough for me to do that, but I just thought, you know, I'm going to call on some of the people in the church to do that. Psalm 138 in verse 1 in the New English Translation says, "I will give you thanks with all my heart." I will give you thanks with all my heart. It's not something you do partially or once in a while. It's an attitude of gratitude, isn't it? And I think that that's one of the things we see missing a lot in our culture today. Sadly, there's a number of surveys and reports and things like that, how this younger generation, so much has been done for them and so much has been handed to them that they've been, in a sense, become very narcissistic, thinking that everything should be provided for them and that is almost a right, that is, you know, a human right to have all the things provided for them. You go back to the garden in Genesis, none of that's a right. Adam and Eve were told to work the garden. Adam and Eve were told to labor, not to sit around and do nothing and just have God show up as a butler and give them everything. That's not the way it works, all right? And so I'm to give thanks with all my heart. And Psalm 106:1 says, "Praise ye the Lord. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is," what? "Good." God is good. You know, we always say, good God, bad devil. It's that simple. And it says, "For his mercy endures until you're bad the next time." Huh? No. Your mercy endures what? Forever. That means no matter how much I mess up between now and eternity, God's mercy is always there. Oh, thank you for his mercy. So, Psalm 107, you know, you go Psalm 105, 106, 107. There's just a series of psalms here. They all start out at some point where it says, "Oh, give thanks." So this is Psalm 107, verse 1. "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever." But look at verse 2 now. In context there, it says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, who he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy." So when it comes to being thankful, the redeemed of the Lord should do what? Say so. That's where your testimony comes in. That's where you tell people what God has done for you on your behalf. You're not ashamed of the fact that God has blessed you, that God has provided for you, that God has saved you. That's why a personal testimony is so powerful, Because people will say, well, you really believe this stuff then? Yeah, I do. I believe this stuff because it's impacted my life. It's changed my life. So when it says that, I like to jump down to verse 21 there in Psalm 107. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. In other words, what God has done on behalf of us. And then he says, and let them sacrifice, now listen to this, the sacrifice of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. So there's times you're going through a hard time and you're thinking, God, what are you doing? And God's not doing anything except giving you an opportunity to get out, giving you an opportunity to believe God. You know, there are scriptures in a couple different places where it talks about being thankful in everything and for everything. And some people take those scriptures and get all kind of, oh, but you want to thank God for your cancer. No, I'm going to thank God in the midst of that because God's got an answer for my cancer. God's got an answer for my problem. In everything I can give thanks, or for everything I can give thanks, because in the midst of it, God's on my side. I'm not giving God thanks for the catastrophe, for the test, for whatever the problem is. I'm not thanking God for that. I get so... You want to see me get in the flesh? No, you don't want to see me get in the flesh. I can get in the flesh real quick. I would like to just kind of boom, boom some of those people, you know? Because that is so contrary to God's nature and character. God is not the one giving you cancer. God is not the one giving you problems. God is not the one. And so it stops like, God, what are you doing? I don't understand. Stop being a wuss. Just, yeah, I don't have much patience for it, sorry. So we have a problem. Be thankful in all things. That's 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you. And what's the answer? We know that from Colossians. We know that from Ephesians. Making melody, singing in your hearts, singing songs, worshiping God. That's how you do it. When you got nothing else, it's a sacrifice. You know, sometimes when you're going through some difficult things, it's tough to sit back and say, all right, Lord, I don't feel like it, but I'm going to worship you right now. Just kind of wind yourself up a little bit. But that's a sacrifice. What does it say? Offer him the sacrifice of thanksgiving. How do you do that? By declaring the works that he's already done for you. Remembering what he's already done for you. Testifying of what he's already done for you. Acknowledging those things. And as you do that, stir yourself up. It's pretty good to be reminded, oh, God got me through this, and God got me through that, and God did this. You know, we were just talking earlier about the fact, you know, we're coming up to a certain kind of a deadline. We went through all this 5 years ago. Literally, on a Thursday afternoon, we were told we were not going to be able to move into the building that we were going to move into. And we were already committed to leave the church we were in on Saturday night. That was going to be our last service. So between Thursday and Saturday, we were under a little pressure. And guess what? God came through. We knew then that, you know, he gave us a word about he was going to give us the ram in the thicket and all that. And every time we come along these things, we know that God's got an answer. But you have to trust. You have to look to him. It might require the sacrifice of thanksgiving. Lord, I don't know how you're going to do it, but glory to God, I'm going to sit back and watch you work. We're going to testify to the works of the Lord on our behalf. So with all of that, what I'm going to do is I've asked some people to come up and share their testimony. And I'm going to do a disclaimer so that they understand. I chose some different couples, but some of the couples, you already hear from their other half. I didn't say better half, worse half, or other half. I just said other half. But I'm going to ask, you know, say, for example, if I asked Pastor Sean and Char to come up first, come on up. You always hear from Pastor Sean, but I'm going to give the microphone to Charlene. And I've told them they have 5 minutes. Well, I'm shush. That's the grace of God, that extra 2 minutes. See, she gets 5 minutes. He gets 2. All right? Holy macro, she's got 3 pages of notes here. You can't, that would take me an hour.
I'll just read it fast.
Huh?
Pastor had put questions.
Yes.
And if we wanted to answer one of them. And the one that kind of spoke to me was, how can a person demonstrate a thankful heart? And I said, when your heart and life are filled with the things, with things to be thankful for, you usually want to share those with others. And I have joy in the Lord to be thankful for, and I try to take every moment to share that joy with others. When I went to work for Starbucks opened up. I had not worked outside the home in almost 17 plus years. It was before when we knew we wanted to have our second kid. So since then, I had been watching little ones and other people's little ones at home. But I had, you know, my youngest one was, geez, at that age, first or second grade, something like that. So Starbucks was opening up across the street, and I thought, oh, I could get out of the house and get a couple of hours of work in, maybe work 12 to 16 hours a week. That quickly snowballed to 50 plus hours, which I've now then, since about a year ago, took off, you know, one day, which has been nice. But since then, you know, here and then I would start coming home with little stories that I would share with Sean about, I love working drive-through. If I never made another cup of coffee, I'd be fine with that. I love working the drive-through and talking to people through the window. And the other people that work there like that I do that because then they don't have to. But I'd come home and share stories with Sean, and jokingly he would say, it's almost like you have a drive-through ministry. And I just kind of laugh it off. But the more I thought about it, it's true, because I have been able to touch people, and they've touched my life, people that I would never be able to probably meet, you know, in any other given day. So when the lockdown happened, one thing that really stuck out to me was during that time period, them coming through our drive-thru, because we never shut down, we just got busier and busier, that interaction, I would even share this with our other baristas. I said, you know, some of these people coming through, this might be their only personal interaction that they have their entire day, and maybe for a couple days. So if we can, you know, when you put on the apron, leave it at the door, you know, the stresses of the world, try not to show it. But any joy that we can give to them during that little period of time while they're passing off their coffee and exchanging their money, that could be all that they have to get them through the next time. But in a couple of stories that, you know, I've had that I've been able, I mean, and one thing I will say is you can meet them where they're at, but you don't have to have experienced what they've experienced. I have lived a very, and I will say, you know, whether it's privileged or blessed, I will say blessed. One thing that I was thinking about the other day is, you know, we say that, you know, to be thankful that you were born into the generation that you were born into. But I've always been very blessed that I was born into the family that I was born into. My grandfather was a minister. My dad was a minister. Because of that, I was, you know, born in a very blessed home. So I was never in any of these situations, but I can still speak into their life. I don't have to, you know, be and have gone through what they went through. I had one lady that has come through that since COVID, she lost her job that she had for years. And since that, she's had to deal with a lot of anxiety on trying to find and keep a job. And so she would share this with me. And I mean, I'd find myself reaching out the window and grabbing her hand and praying with her real quick before she had to go on her way. I'm sure the car behind her is wondering what's going on. But, and she's, you know, had gone through already, you know, three jobs since then, trying to just the anxiety that she's held on to trying to keep a job. And just the encouragement that I can give to her. Another mom, that young mom, got to know her just through the smiling face of her little boy in the back seat. And, you know, every day, and she mentioned that he's been suffering with some brain disease. And so she'd come through and, how's Rylan doing? Oh, he's good. And another day, how's Rylan doing? And just got the look of like, not good. And he had passed away. And so the next time she came through, she happened to come in the cafe. And I stopped everything that I was doing, told someone to take my spot, and had to just go give her a big hug. And no words were exchanged, but it was just that moment of, I'm here for you. And so since then, just, you know, she's, her husband's trying to find a job, and I'm like, you send me his resume, and I'll give it to my husband, and he could pass it on through other people, and whatever we can do to, you know, help you out. You know, just so many different things, just trying to just spread joy, just in every little moment that we can, and just share what you can be thankful for. And whether it's at your work or just everyday life, my kids give me a hard time because I can be the person in line and and just strike up the conversation with whoever. I can talk to people that I don't know probably easier than people that I do know. But, you know, I tell the kids, I said, you don't know what they're dealing with. You know, they, you don't know that, you know, I mean, I have been in the position where somebody has helped me get to the, you know, carry my groceries to the car when I've been dealing with a sleeping baby in one arm and the big thing of Sam's Club stuff in the cart. So be that person for somebody else when you see somebody struggling. You don't know, you know, the mom or the teacher what they've been going through. And if you can bless them financially, do that. But if you can bless them just in words or just being there and being present to listen, that's the biggest thing, which sometimes I can deal struggle with. So many times we just want to talk, but just be there to listen to them and just share the joy that you can.
No, I mean, I'll just keep boasting that. I think what's also amazing to me is, I mean, she's dealt with women whose kids try to commit suicide multiple times. The professional who's striving, the Vikings coach, the police officers changing careers, just story after story. She paid for some kids to go to youth camp. She went to someone's home who had had surgery and was concerned that nobody was going to come and visit her. Yet this is a barista. I mean, for all purposes, you know, the world needs to pause and see that. So I don't know. I'm thankful for a wife that gets that ministry doesn't have to be limited and shouldn't be limited ever to a pulpit, to a fivefold ministry of any kind. I mean, her heritage of faith is pretty incredible. I had the exact opposite heritage of faith. I mean, my parents, I mean, what I'm thankful for, and I will get done in 1 minute, is the fact that they changed the trajectory of their life. I mean, my mom and dad, their families respectively were about the poster child for carnality. I mean, really, every Jerry Springer episode you could think of, probably, I mean, I'm serious, for every form of abuse to murder, to prison, to gangs, to drugs, to prostitution, we're talking like in my, like, not my immediate family, but my mom's sisters and men in their life and cousins, it was that close to us every single day. But my parents were committed to this church and to the pastors that we have to speak into their life when I was just a 10-year-old boy. And so to know that they were willing to trust God enough to change the trajectory of their life, you know, that's inspiring to me, because that generational stuff doesn't carry over now into our family. So she has this heritage of faith of ministry. Now, my side of the family, we're going to have the same thing moving forward. So pretty cool.
Amen. All right. Definitely let Janie go first.
No.
It's a group effort.
It's nothing to do with the microphone. Seriously. You can trust me. This isn't my time. Okay. You ready?
Story we're about to see.
Hold on.
The story you're about to see is true. The names have been changed to protect the innocent.
Oh, Tom, don't you just love playing cards together?
Yes, Janice. And to think it only took 41 years for us to find we would enjoy playing cards together.
Tom, darling, it's your turn.
All right, Janice, sweetheart. I'm going to play a 6 on your 5. No, I'm going to take that back. I don't want to do that.
Oh, no, you can't do that. You can't take it back. You played that.
No, I didn't play it. Just imagine. If I said I was going to go to the store and I drove halfway there and changed my mind and came back home, I didn't go to the store.
No, you said you were going to play it. You took it back. It's not the same thing. This is a card game. It's not the store. So you can't just change your mind like that.
I'm helping.
You're ridiculous.
No. You're ridiculous.
You're the one that's ridiculous. I'm done.
Our marriage is probably done. Okay. All right. The names were changed, but there were no innocent, okay? Janice, obviously, was Janie.
And Tom was Tim.
Yeah. Okay, and this actually happened 8 days ago. That's correct. November 19th. It was a Saturday, okay? But the bad thing about it was we didn't forgive each other and make up for
5.5 hours.
Yes, 5.5 hours. And you know the reason we didn't? Because we weren't thankful. We weren't thankful for what God had given us in our marriage and just being in Him. And as Pastor mentioned already, the Bible says in Psalm 103, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits." And in fact, the first benefit mentioned there is He forgives all your iniquities, all your sins. In fact, if you remember when the angel came to Mary, he said, "You shall call your son's name Jesus, for it is He who will forgive His people from their sins." But we need to be thankful. And we need to realize, as James 1:17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. And so even Deuteronomy 8:17 and 18, it talks about and it says, "Remember the Lord your God, that it is He that gives power you the power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant in the earth." It's not us. It's not us. We need to look to Him at all times and have a thankful heart. Isn't that right, Janie? Janice. Janie.
Thank you, Tom. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, Pastor said it. It was the Kenneth Hagin ministry devotion this morning. "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus." And for Pastor Mary from the Passion Translation, "And in the midst of everything, be always giving thanks, for this is God's perfect plan for you in Christ Jesus." God knows each one of us personally. He knows exactly who we are. He knows exactly what we have. And He knows exactly what we're going to be going through. Praise God. In His word, God teaches us that it's important to develop this attitude of gratitude. And yes, it says, in the midst of everything, whether it's a time that's very hard and challenging or whether it's a time of great blessing. But how do we practically do that? You have to start each day, each week, each month, each year in a spirit of gratitude. You have to walk in an attitude of gratitude. And when you are, you're walking in the will of God, in His perfect plan for you, and that is very pleasing to Him. Now, you might ask, like the question was, why are some people thankful and some people are so ungrateful, just taking advantage of things, taking things for granted? And I remembered a sermon that I heard a pastor share that had four very good points, and they are, you need to look around, you need to look up, you need to look back, and you need to look forward. Number one, look around. See the evidence of God's work. Psalm 24:1 says, "The earth is the Lord's and all it contains, the world and all those who live in it." Growing up, one of our mealtimes prayers, maybe some of you said this too, was Psalm 145. "The eyes of all wait upon thee, O Lord, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thy hands and satisfiest desire of every living thing." Look around. Number two, look up. Look up to God and not man. Man is going to disappoint you. Man is going to fail your expectations. Man is going to try to play his five on your six and then take it back. It's going to disappoint you every time.
It was a six on a five.
Okay. But the word of God says in Psalm 27:14, "Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He will strengthen your heart." Wait, I say, wait on the Lord. Look up. Number three is to look back. I know there's not one person in this room who's hearing my voice who can't take a moment to look back and think about something great that God has done in your life. If you need help, do you remember this song? Look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. He touched my body. He healed my mind. He saved me just in time. So I'm gonna praise his name. Each day is just the same. Come help me praise him. Look what the Lord has done. Rhema days. Oh, Brother Hagin's here. So you need to look back. And finally, number four, look ahead and think of all the blessings that you have to look forward to. God's promise to us in Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and for a future. Look ahead. So remember, look around, look up, look back, and look forward. Don't be ungrateful or take things for granted. Listen to God and have a heart of gratitude. Always remembering 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus.
Thank you. You can always tell these people used to be children's church pastors and their skits. Sean and Jennifer Dunn, come on up here. You're just going to let Jennifer do it? You're all on your own. He's not going to come up here and put a 6 on your 5 or a...
Never had those arguments, so I don't think I'll be as entertaining. And Janie stole all my points, so I can just go sit down. No. Okay. So I chose the question, too, why are some people thankful and others ungrateful and take things for granted? And this is something that we talk about a lot with our business coaches, actually. It's always interesting to see how the business world and the developments in business growth follow the Bible. And we have biblical, Bible-believing coaches, too, so that may play into it. But there's a lot of talk right now about being grateful in business and how that is reflected in how you treat your clients and your customers. And being there, like Shar is, not, her job is not serving coffee. Her job is making those people feel important, and especially in this world where we all see everybody, the success that everybody has on Facebook or Instagram and how beautiful they are and their wonderful families, and it can really cause you to feel like you're just not living up to what you want to have. And then there's all this talk about self-care and so inwardly focused, as Pastor was saying. And that's not how we're supposed to live. We're supposed to live very outwardly focused, looking at ways that we can be of service to others and just being there. Even it's as simple as a word of encouragement for people. You don't have to hand them $1,000 check if you want to. That's great. But a lot of times it's just listening to someone and being there. Gratefulness reminds us that what we have is not a product of our doing, but of his doing. In Psalm 118, verse 24, we're reminded that he made this day. It's ours. He made it for us, and we need to take advantage of every opportunity. We decide what we do with every day, every moment that we have. And we should take those opportunities, listen to what people are telling you. It can just be a simple statement that you don't think anything about, and then later you go, oh my gosh, they just told me something very personal, or you read into, like, you know, that there's a need there, and it's time to sit down and just pray about it. But taking things for granted also leads to disappointment when the things don't go our way. We fail to recognize the power that we have to influence our own lives and our outcomes. God gives us all the opportunities. If we take it for granted that the sun is going to rise tomorrow and that we'll have another day, we don't take advantage of what happens today, and that's what we need to do. And that makes all the difference. I know, in our life, and when you run your own business or any time, I mean, you sometimes have those terrors of the night where it's like, okay, well, we don't have anything on the books for however long. Like, what are we going to do? And then it's like, wait a minute, what am I going to do? I'm going to thank God for what I have. And the opportunities that lie ahead. And it's so interesting that whenever that happens, something, some client comes out of nowhere or a deal gets resurrected, he takes care of us. We just have to trust. Just like, you know, what pastors are talking about with where we're going to be. Hey, who's worried? He's got this. We do what we need to do. We have a responsibility, but he takes care of us. And gratitude and gratefulness is an acknowledgement of what others do for us, too. You know, every day, I mean, I'm so grateful for the husband that I have who really is selfless and, you know, is always, whenever I ask him to do something, he just does it. So a lot of times I don't even have to ask him to do it. He's just... He's just there for me, and we have great kids who are always thoughtful most of the time. no, they're wonderful. I just have so many things to be grateful for. I would never have anything to be sad about. And then because it is the holiday season, and I know our pastors love certain movies, there's a song that kept going through my head, and I will not sing it. Maybe Janie could come back up and sing this for me, but you might recognize this one from Bing Crosby. When I'm worried and I can't sleep, I count my blessings instead of sheep, and I fall asleep. When my bankroll is getting small, I think of when I had none at all, and I fall asleep counting my blessings. So if you're worried and you can't sleep, just count your blessings instead of sheep, and you'll fall asleep counting your blessings. But to turn it back to the Bible, since we are at church. Psalm 103, verses 2 through 5. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. So, there you go.
Amen. I had Hillary and Kevin on the list next, but they both, I guess they got raptured. Are they out there? All right, well, we'll skip them. Josh and Elon, come on up here. I want to hear. Josh is going. She's got it. I gave Elon a whole week to prepare. I told her last Sunday, I said, girl, you're it. Of course, she came up with mini micro notes.
That's my scripture. Oh. When I think of thankfulness, I always think of healing, because they had a huge part in my life. Pastor Mary mentioned last week about the importance of praise and worship, how it's not... We don't worship God because he needs worship, but because it benefits us. I would add Thanksgiving to it. Just a little background. I grew up in a Christian home, but healing was kind of seen as if God wants to. Or it depends on his mood, how he feels like. You never know. Maybe he wants to teach you something. Maybe if you cry enough, he'll hear you. when I was about 11, I had a heart problem. So when mom took me to the doctor, it was diagnosed as asthma. So I got an inhaler, which did nothing for, which I found out later was a valve issue for the heart. So... when I got older, it got worse and worse. And then, how old was I? 20, yeah, around 20, 19 when I met Josh. 21 when I got to the States to visit him. And he said, you need to sit in the PACES classes, which Pastor Mary had. It was the healing services that she had, like healing classes. So I sat in those classes. Actually, it was so refreshing hearing all that. Instead of the whole crying, bawling, scratching, crawling, for God to move, it was so nice to hear the true word, and just pure, and just know healing is for everybody every time. Especially if you are his child, it's for you every time. Which made sense for me, because it's, I mean, as a natural parent, why wouldn't you want that for your child? Eventually, just sitting under the word was enough, and receiving healing through the word alone. Later on, once we had kids and stuff, I have a little list remembering of what God did, but when I write it all down, and all the healing all the illnesses or situations, injuries that we got healed from as a family, it includes eye infections, which is like green goop coming out really thick, nasty, sudden allergic reactions where the face swelled up this big and eyes like... Danielle come in and knocked on my door and what do I do? And I'm like, you look horrible. It was eyes shut with this swollen face, which I found out later. We never Google to see what we're dealing with. We always go to God first. And then when you receive your healing, then we Google to see what we dealt with. So then after we received healing for her, it took only 3 days. It has to click in your heart, and while you're waiting, you're praising and thanking God. So it's not I get healed first and I thank later. It's the other way. You thank God while you're waiting, and that's how you receive. Even Jesus at Lazarus' grave said, I thank you, Father, that you have heard me. Well, he hasn't said anything, but he started off with, you heard me, and then he called Lazarus out. Then when we Googled, then we found out she played in pine trees and got some reaction. Josh's coworker dealt with the same thing, just showed up at work, and the guy looked like Danielle's face. And Josh right away, you played in pine trees. And the guy goes, how do you know? I went camping, and that's what he did. He went to a doctor, antibiotics and all the stuff. After 2 weeks, he wasn't no better. So... we always go to God first and then look stuff up. We had slipped ribs. Again, it's supposedly taking 4 to 6 weeks. It only took 3 to 4 days for the rib to slip back into place. We had teeth, rambunctious kids playing around. The whole upper row got loose. And question is, do you want to pull the teeth now? And they don't have any teeth. For I don't know how many years till grown teeth come up. So again, we go to God first, teeth stabilizing. Sprained ankle when you're in the woods by yourself, 2 miles from home. Still, Josh just prayed, I'm fine, and he started walking on his sprained ankle. It worked. We had fingers shut in the door. Again, just from scriptures alone, standing on the word, fingers fully fine. We had 2 kids that bumped their chin and got a hole in their chin. One, we went to the doctor, actually got the chin glued. The other one, we just pulled, like, I'm going to put a Band-Aid on you and just pull it shut. And actually, the one that we believed God for and had just Band-Aid pull it shut healed better with no scar than with the one we went and got it glued. We had a dead baby, dead 12 hours in the womb. We found out later when we were talking to the midwife, all we knew was we had a stillborn. The ambulance that came, and he's like, did you have the baby and put her back in the water? I'm like, yes, I drowned my baby. I don't know why it would say so, but when we talked to a midwife later, it turns out she was dead in the womb for 12 hours prior to the birth. So it had nothing to do with the water. She was born, raised. We had hearing loss, 75% loss of hearing. in both ears. There was somewhere we can think of. An accident, teeth caved in on the one side, couldn't shut the mouth. Teeth moved back into place. So this was only from the word alone. And while you're waiting, you praise God and thank him for what he has already done. Your healing comes through your spirit into your body. So it's not a big mystery. It says he provided everything in the spiritual realm for us. And the way I explain for our kids is you have... It's like a little spiritual arm that goes out. That's your faith. And when you're thanking and praising God, that arm reaches for whatever you need and brings it back into the physical realm. So we always emphasized the importance of Thanksgiving. Just the other week, Kevin does school in my room, so in our bedroom, so I can keep an eye on him. And I tell him, read out loud, so I hear what you're reading while I'm cleaning my desk. So I'm cleaning, and he's sitting and reading his English, I think. And all of a sudden, I just hear, go away in the name of Jesus. And I jumped, and I'm like, "Is all these thoughts come, is this in the book? Does he want his schoolwork to go away? Who came in? Who needs to go?" And I'm looking at like, what's going on? So I see him, and he's like this, and he's talking to his body and quoting scriptures. So he has his little book. Mine is pink. He has this little scripture book. And I told him, grab your book, go by yourself, receive your healing, whatever you're dealing with. He said later it was something with the peripheral vision that kind of blocked out. And in the beginning, he was kind of scared. Fear is the worst thing you can get into because you just go down the path. It's so hard to recover if you keep going. So right away, we said, you can't get in fear. You have to rise. But to be able to rise, you need to know what the word says. So that's why they have the little books. He was gone for a little bit. I go in, check their room. Michael said he's been in the bathroom for a long time. So I go and check. Michael goes, what's that sound? I go look, and I can, over the fan, I can hear singing. Told Michael, he's singing, he's praising God, he's thanking. Michael just like, good, good. Because he knows the process is you speak to the body, but while you're waiting, you praise and thank God. So when I told him he's thanking and praising God, it just felt like, good, he got it. Because that's kind of like the final step in a way. Praise and worship, Thanksgiving is so undermined when it comes to healing. It's not a chore. It's not you struggling. It's eyes on Jesus. You see what he's done, and it's already provided for, and it's already done. And the whole, you're designed to dwell in God's peace all day, every day. His peace far outweighs wherever it comes your way. And Lillian B. Yeomans, she called it the praise cure. So you keep praising God and thanking him for what he's already done. And when you go to the word and you praise him, it's not you and your struggle, it's God and his answers. Yeah, I would say Thanksgiving is like a flood that breaks the dam.
Amen. Amen. All right. I guess I don't see Kevin, so he is going. We're going to pass on Kevin, Hillary? Okay. All right. Well, we almost ran out of time anyways. Everybody took a little bit more than 5 minutes. So, Pastor Mike and Judy, You always hear from Pastor Mike, but I definitely want the two of them to come up. They can close it out. Come on up. I love hearing from Judy. I like hearing from you too, but I really like to hear from Pastor Judy.
Thank you. Well, praise God. Amen. It's, you know, I was thinking, okay, if I go last, I'm going to have to start, you know, everything's going to cover kind of what I do, but it doesn't matter because it's good to hear the word of God. But, and then the things that I had prepared anyway, this morning as I was just going over it, the whole thing changed, so. And it, which is good, because it doesn't have to be, I don't know if it'll even be 5 minutes, but what I was thinking about was one of the first things that was, the questions was, why is it important during this day and age to be thankful? And to me, that's such an obvious thing. Another thing that some of you may know, I think I mentioned this before, but I am not a really emotional person, but for some reason, with God's sense of humor, when I share the word of God, sometimes I get emotional. So, to me, this was such an important thing because, and then the prayer, we were in prayer, you know, just started prayer before, and it was all about Thanksgiving. It was all, they were just praying about, you know, we were thanking God and giving thanks, and it's so important to keep a thankful heart. And when I was thinking about it, Thanksgiving, you know, we don't know what we're going to face in this world. We don't know. And when we talk about present day, you know, we've heard teachings on this is the end times, Jesus is coming back. We're always supposed to think that way, because if we believe that Jesus is coming back, then the Bible says that we will line up our life in a right way. We will be, you know, we'll be thinking about, hey, this could happen any time. I better stay walking the way I should be walking. And it doesn't matter when the end of the world comes. I know some people are really into it and they love that. But to me, my life is my world. It is my reality. And when I die, I die. And my Jesus is coming back because I'm going to be there. So it doesn't matter to me. And I don't know if that's a right way to think about it. But we have one life to live. That's it. We have so much time, but we can use it in a mighty way. We can. And so when I think about Thanksgiving, I think about if we have a spirit of thanksgiving, when we are thankful, it clears our mind. When we go, sometimes when we're, because when do you think about, sometimes you think about being thankful when things are going great, and sometimes, the other time is when things are not going real well. And you, and, but it can clear your mind. And you just, all of a sudden, you get all those things, and sometimes the good things can get in the way. But there's, you know, you just clear your mind, it's just you and God, and you're thankful, and it brings clarity. It shows you what you need to do. What is it that I need to do to deal with these situations? And it brings peace. The more I looked up about Thanksgiving, many times peace is right along with it. It brings peace. And if we, it brings, and then with peace it comes strength. When you have peace that God is on your side and he is right there with you and he's going to walk that path with you. And not only that, you know, we have the Holy Spirit to just pray things out. To you know, the Bible says that he'll show us things to come. Do you ever pray about that? That he will show us things to come. God, show me. Yeah, how many times have you said, okay, I will do whatever you want me to do, but just show me what that is. Because I can hang on to that and I can say, okay, I can do that because God is with me. And so that's what that does for me. And I will do it. I've made that purpose in my heart. When I was young, I grew up in a religious family. And as far as I knew, I didn't know one person that was saved in my family, in my heritage. I couldn't find anybody. I didn't know. Of course, I looked a little bit later when I got older. We didn't have that heritage. But you know what? God is so faithful. And when I was 9 years old, I had an experience with God. I don't know if I got saved then. Maybe I did, maybe I didn't. I don't know. But I know that the Spirit of God told me that you do not have to read prayers that somebody else wrote and find them in a book, and then you read those, and those are your prayers. I got a revelation knowledge of that. And I knew that I could just talk to God. And being 9 years old, I went and told my sister the next day. I said, we don't have to pray those prayers anymore. We can just talk to God. And she goes, what do you mean? Show me. And I said, okay, come on. God told, you know, I can, we'll say, and I don't know. Well, God didn't come the next day and have the revelation. That was a revelation knowledge to me. But it was took me on a journey. And when I was in high school, when I was 17 years old, I was invited to a church, a born-again, spirit-filled church. And I went there. And I went up for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And the people that brought me to church, they knew, well, they said, she's not saved. We got to get her saved. You can't get filled with the Holy Spirit if you haven't got saved. What are we going to do? And they're asking me as we're walking into the prayer room, have you ever asked Jesus into your heart before? Have you? And I said, I don't know. You know, but I went into that prayer room and I came out speaking in tongues. And my life was changed. It was changed. And right after that, I, for some odd reason, because I was a very timid person, and I was afraid to do things. I just, you know, I was too hesitant. But then, for some odd reason, I decided to go to school in Paris. Okay, why not? By myself, I will go to Paris. And I will, okay, why not? And my mom's like, you're going to do what? And I said, you know what? Yeah, that's what I'm going to do. And I went there, and I grew up. I'm so thankful for that time, because I had to figure things out. But I was saved, and I brought two cassette tapes with me that I could play. And I had two things that I could to get the Word of God. Because when you go over there, now France is 1% to 3% Christian. Back then, maybe it was 4%. Who knows? I don't know. But it's not doing real good over there. And but I was there, and I was by myself. I was isolated, and it was me and God. And I grew up. I grew up in the way that I could manage getting around in a big city without speaking the language. But I came back, and I said, I can do this. And I just knew that I was going to walk with God the rest of my life. And that's what I did. And then shortly after that, I met Mike, and I am so thankful that I'm just going to ignore that part of the story because we just have a few minutes. but to me, I am so thankful that God called me into the ministry, and that's what I have done. I have made my choices based on ministry, my job choices, my hours that I would work, the things that I would do. How, you know, I chose ministry. That was my. Occupation or whatever you call it. It was my calling. That's who and what I am. I am going to minister for God. I don't care if I make less money. I don't care if I don't take this job, but I'll take this job. And because that's what I wanted to do. And God has been so faithful in that. And then as we were in the church, just different things that you face. And you know, there's can be everybody here has faced good and bad. But when there's a time when you come up against a big obstacle, and you say, God, you are going to show me what can happen here. And you just start doing what I just said. You clear your mind. You don't think about the hurts. You don't think about what someone did to you or what could happen to you or how it should be and maybe it isn't. You don't think about that. You go into a room and you're by yourself and you can just worship God and you can be thankful. And the one thing that you're really thankful for is you're thinking about it's gratitude becomes a natural position of our heart when we realize the magnitude of what God has done for us. You know, and it doesn't matter, you know, how in the natural, it doesn't matter. It because every day we can minister to people. I know a lot of people have been sharing different ways that they could do that. And that's what counts, that you have something inside of you. You get a word from God. You get something, and you have the boldness to go up and say, I can pray for you, or I can do this for you. I'm not even going to tell you. I'm going to go pray for you. It doesn't matter because it's exciting when you just let God lead you and guide you, and it's that, and there's just a natural response. You're going to be thankful. And going back to just why, in this day and age, we hear about how darkness and gross darkness is going to be on the earth. There may be things we hear in other countries when you talk to missionaries, when you talk to people, the Christians, you know what they say? Just pray for us. Pray that we will be strong. Pray for us. That's what the first thing that they say. They don't say, help me to get my house back. Help me to, you know, get out of this encampment place that I have to live because of what my government is doing. They don't say that. They say, pray for me that I will be strong in the Lord and I will walk for faithful to him. That's what they do. And that's what we need to do. And so that's why it's important to be thankful in this day and age, because we don't know what's going to come. We'll have good things. We'll have some negative things that come at us. But you know what? If we stay thankful and we stay in that connection and we don't allow anything, you just clear the mind and you make the main thing the main thing. God is who we are serving. That is what we're going to do. And then it doesn't matter what's happening in the natural, because we're going through. And when we're believing for our place where we're going to be, we're going through. Amen? You don't get a sense of we're going to, and I thought, you know what? Like, we do have a responsibility here. We're supposed to be, like, doing something. And, well, you know, we are. We're believing God. We're standing strong. And it doesn't matter. We're going through. And we're going through as a family. Amen? Amen. Praise God.
You want to say anything?
No.
Good, then I'll give you the mic. All right. Well, what I had done, they mentioned some questions. I had given them four questions. I said, why is an attitude of gratitude important in these last days? Or how can a person demonstrate a thankful heart? Or can you think of an example of our situation that would require us to offer up the sacrifice of thanksgiving? Or why are some people thankful and others ungrateful? And take things for granted. Those were just guidelines, and you guys covered all of it, so thank you so much. And on behalf of Pastor Mary and I'm just thankful for all of you and for this people that have stuck with us through thick and thin and up and down and sideways and twisted around and everything else. You have no idea how important that is to us and how we believe. It just, yeah, thank you. That's all I can say. So Psalm 92:1 says, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. It is a good thing. And so what we've just done as a church is a good thing. We've done that personally and individually. And I'm sure a lot of you, as you were listening, could identify with a number of things that they said. And again, I think it's important once in a while just to hear another voice besides mine or Pastor Mary or something. And it's so good to hear from all of you. God's at work in all of us. Amen. And he's got a voice in all of us. And it's just blessed. Thank you. Father, we are thankful. Father,